They were to return to Hogwarts on the night bus the following day, escorted once again by Tonks and Lupin, both of whom were eating breakfast in the kitchen when Harry, Ron and Hermione arrived there next morning. The adults seemed to have been midway through a whispered conversation when the door opened. All of them looked around hastily and fell silent. After a hurried breakfast, they pulled on jackets and scarves against the chilly grey January morning. Harry had an unpleasant, constricted sensation in his chest. He did not want to say goodbye to Sirius. He had a bad feeling about this parting. He did not know when they would next see each other, and felt that it was incumbent upon him to say something to Sirius to stop him doing anything stupid. Harry was worried that Snape's accusation of cowardice had stung Sirius so badly he might even now be planning some foolhardy trip beyond Grimald Place. Before he could think of what to say, however, Sirius had beckoned him to his side.
"I want you to take this," he said quietly,
thrusting a badly wrapped package roughly the size of a paperback book into Harry's hands.
"What is it?" Harry asked.
"A way of letting me know if Snape's giving you a hard time. No, don't open it in here,"
said Sirius, with a wary look at Mrs. Weasley, who was trying to persuade the twins to wear hand-knitted mittens.
"I doubt Molly would approve, but I want you to use it if you need me, all right?"
"Okay,"
said Harry, stowing the package away in the inside pocket of his jacket, but he knew he would never use whatever it was. It would not be he, Harry, who lured Sirius from his place of safety, no matter how foully Snape treated him in their forthcoming occlumency classes.
"Let's go, then," said Sirius, clapping Harry on the shoulder and smiling grimly.
And before Harry could say anything else, they were heading upstairs, stopping before the heavily chained and bolted front door, surrounded by Weasleys.
"Goodbye, Harry. Take care," said Mrs. Weasley, hugging him.
"See you, Harry, and keep an eye out for snakes for me," said Mr. Weasley genially, shaking his hand.
"Right, yeah," said Harry distractedly. It was his last chance to tell Sirius to be careful. He turned, looked into his godfather's face, and opened his mouth to speak. But before he could do so, Sirius was giving him a brief one-armed hug. He said gruffly,
"Look after yourself, Harry."
And next moment, Harry found himself being shunted out into the icy winter air with Tonks, today heavily disguised as a tall, tweedy woman with iron-grey hair, chivying him down the steps. The door of number 12 slammed shut behind them. They followed Lupin down the front steps. As he reached the pavement, Harry looked around. Number 12 was shrinking rapidly, as those on either side of it stretched sideways, squeezing it out of sight. One blink later, it had gone.
"Come on, the quicker we get on the bus, the better," said Tonks,
and Harry thought there was nervousness in the glance she threw around the square. Lupin flung out his right arm.
Bang!
A violently purple triple-decker bus had appeared out of thin air in front of them, narrowly avoiding the nearest lamppost, which jumped backward out of its way. A thin, pimply, jug-eared youth in a purple uniform leapt down onto the pavement and said,
"Welcome to the—" "Yes, yes, we know, thank you," said Tonks swiftly. On, get on."
And she shoved Harry forward toward the steps, past the conductor, who goggled at Harry as he passed.
"Here, it's Harry. If you shout his name, I will curse you into oblivion,"
muttered Tonks menacingly, now shunting Ginny and Hermione forward.
"I've always wanted to go on this thing," said Ron happily, joining Harry on board and looking around.
It had been evening the last time Harry had travelled by night bus, and its three decks had been full of brass bedsteads. Now in the early morning it was crammed with an assortment of mismatched chairs grouped haphazardly around windows. Some of these appeared to have fallen over when the bus stopped abruptly in Grimald Place. A few witches and wizards were still getting to their feet, grumbling, and somebody's shopping bag had slid the length of the bus. An unpleasant mixture of frog spawn, cockroaches, and custard creams was scattered all over the floor.
"Looks like we'll have to split up,"
said Tonks briskly, looking around for empty chairs.
"Fred, George, and Ginny, if you just take those seats at the back, Remus can stay with you.